Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, as police and protesters have clashed over the last few days in the U.S., videos have shown police tear gassing and attacking peaceful protesters, even journalists. But in Flint, Michigan, police set down their batons as the protesters said, "Walk with us." So Chris Swanson, sheriff of Genesee County, which includes Flint, did just that. And he joins us now. Sheriff, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Well, and why did you make that decision to walk with the protesters?
You know, I would like to say that it was a planned decision and it was strategic, but it really came from the heart. The intensity was so great. It had been building all week. It had started with 8 minutes and 46 seconds that erased police relations in an instant. And when I felt that tension and they walked up on the line and the two sides were clashing, just like you see around the nation, I just knew that something had to change. I couldn't believe it was happening right there before my very eyes in Flint, who's already been sacrificed and already been challenged so much. So I started seeing one fist pump between the crowd and an officer, and I saw a hug. And that fear started to melt, and I thought, right there is the opportunity. I took off my hat. They put their batons down. I walked into the crowd. I grabbed one of the leaders. I gave him a big old hug, and I said, "Listen, that guy is not who we are." And he said, "Tell the crowd." And then he got their attention, and I addressed the crowd. But the second question, Jeremy, is what really put Flint, Michigan on history, and that is, what do we need to do now? And they said, "Walk with us." And that changed everything.
Well, what do you make then of what we've seen in other cities, in New York, in Washington, D.C., in Los Angeles? We've seen police in some cases act violently toward protesters, in some cases completely unprovoked. You saw what happened last night outside the White House. What's going on? What do you think of what other departments are doing?
Well, I can only answer for what happened that night. And when I say that is because we dealt with protesters that had a message. And that message was changed. The folks that are burning cities down that are not theirs, that are going to businesses and looting, they are not the protesters. They are not the ones with the message. Even the Floyd family called out. You can't have lawlessness. I get that. But I'm going to tell you, through time and through healing, we're going to get back. You could already see the change. You can see police agencies across the nation now change philosophies. And I believe those big cities, New York, Washington, L.A., they're going to heal and it's going to get back to where we want to be.
But what about what authorities have done in many cases? Do you think that authorities have crossed the line and gone too far in trying to tamp down some of what's been happening?
You know, it's hard to see. And when you see images like that and when you see people that are peacefully protesting, because that's a First Amendment right. And whether it's a riot, a demonstration, a protest, or on a traffic stop, you can't take away people's constitutional rights. So individually, if somebody has the intent to hurt and harm in law enforcement, that's how we got here in the first place. We saw somebody on the back of the neck of an individual who had rights. And that act right there brought us to where we are right now. And when you saw the same reports that I did last night, what's happening in New York and in L.A. and D.C., how do you justify what got us there? You can't. You can't. That's not what policing is about. Policing is about protecting and serving.
What about reporters? We've seen CNN reporters arrested on camera. We've seen reporters shot with rubber bullets by police, tear gassed. Why do you think that in so many instances in the last several days, police are going after journalists?
Well, I can tell you this, Jeremy. Throughout our history, we've had journalists on the front lines. The risk that journalists put is as noble as those fighting the front lines. I talked to a reporter yesterday whose own friend was shot in the left eye and blinded by a rubber bullet. That breaks my heart as much as anything else does. So for people to do their job and to be injured, that's no different than a police officer getting injured or a nurse getting injured or what it is. That's a frontline worker. You can't justify that. Certainly, there's no excuse if it was intentional. They're there to tell the story, not to be a victim.
We've heard the president's national security advisor and others in this country say that systemic racism doesn't exist in U.S. law enforcement. That is not what many criminal justice experts and many black people have said. They've pointed to institutionalized racism across the system. What do you think about that? Is there systemic racism in law enforcement?
That's a great question. And I can't agree that it doesn't exist. It's a reality. You saw the frustration. You've seen cases throughout. And when law enforcement doesn't call a wrong, that's where the boiling point comes from. Racism, whether it's African-American, Latino, against white, it doesn't matter. Law enforcement has to be unified. When we have people making decisions based on race, based on religion, that goes against everything America stands for. And when I say I can't agree with it, it's because I know it. We've disciplined people in our office that have crossed over racial lines. I have a guy in jail right now who committed a sexual assault while on duty. Police need to be held to a higher standard. And when you have law enforcement who have the power from the people violate that code, they need to be held to that standard. And if it becomes a racial issue, it's even that much more important. That's how we got here in the first place. And every police executive around the nation needs to recognize that. That's why I've said many times, George Floyd changed American policing, because we have to do things different. Recognize what's there. Listen to the people. That's what they want. They want change, and change comes by action.
Let me ask you one more thing. Sheriff Swanson, what is it like to be a police officer right now?
I love my job, and I love it in spite of all that's going on. I was just asked a question about all cops are bad, the acronym that's going around, and that breaks my heart. That part hurts, because we're not. We are the ones that you call when nothing else can help. And we don't ask. We just go. We have people that have given their lives on the way to calls, protect people they don't know. But you're always going to have folks that take away and detract from that. And that we have to continue to root out. If we ever forget that law enforcement is more than just traffic stops and 911 calls, but it's to serve people, then we have lost what the meaning of law enforcement is.
That is Chris Swanson, who's the sheriff of Genesee County, which includes the city of Flint, Michigan. And he walked with the protesters there in Flint when they were out in the streets. Chris Swanson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for doing what you do.
And at hereandnow.org, you can find more of our coverage of what has been going on, including an interview with the lead pastor at the church in Houston where George Floyd used to go. That pastor has provided us with some new photos of Floyd. That's all at hereandnow.org.